I'm happy to have in the studio with me two gentlemen from Eritrea, Ephraim and Johannes, who are going to be talking to us about some of the history of Eritrea that most people here are unaware of, whose people have been struggling for their liberation from neighboring Ethiopia for more than four decades, largely out of both sight and mind of movement activists on this side of the Atlantic. So first, I'd like to welcome both Ephraim and Johannes to KPOO.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's Johannes first, yes.
This is Johannes.
Yeah. Johannes. Unfortunately, I've noticed over the years, there's very little information that has come to even people who are interested in Africa, from the struggle in the Horn of Africa, and much of it has been distorted and misreported in the past. And perhaps one of you would like to give some background of the struggle for liberation. Johannes, please.
Thank you. The history of Eritrea, as you have nicely put, has been a very, wrongly portrayed for the last how many years. Still now, is a lot of people do not know anything about Eritrea, I guess. The Eritrean people had to wage a war of 30 years of that against Ethiopia, and it was very bloody. And between 1961 and 1991, when we got our independence, the Eritrean people had to wage war, pay a heavy sacrifice. Over 100,000 people died in the struggle. So Eritrea is, maybe to help our listeners to tell where Eritrea is. Eritrea is on the Red Sea.
In the Horn of Africa.
Yes, in the Horn of Africa.
Call, I don't know if you call it that. That's how it's referred to in the media.
Yes, here. The Horn of Africa. Population about 4 million. So Eritreans have nine nationalities. These nine nationalities have worked together coherently to liberate themselves from various colonial powers, including Ethiopia, the last one. We were first colonized by Italy for over 60 years, between 1969 up to 1942, the Second World War, when the Allied powers kicked Italy out. And then the British also stayed there for another 10 years. And then after that, the Federation, which was Sham. And then after that, the Ethiopians annexed Eritrea. So that the reason for the armed struggle was right there.
One of the things that troubled me is the first time I really became aware of the struggle was I was in Algeria in 1970, Algiers 1970, and Algiers in 1970 was a headquarters for liberation struggles of African colonies struggling against liberation from Portugal, from South Africa. You had the Palestinian struggles there. You had Vietnamese there, and the Black Panther Party from Oakland had a headquarters there. And the Eritrean liberation struggle was part of that liberation struggle. And I met and talked with people, and even I had some exchanges, mail exchanges, after that. And suddenly, Mengistu overthrew Haile Selassie, actually killed at least 2,000 communists, but the Soviet Union putting geopolitics and the strategic position that Eritrea was in the Horn of Africa, all he wanted to do was have Mengistu embrace some socialist slogans, and suddenly it was, unfortunately, Ethiopia now being supported by the Soviet Union. There's a complete turnabout, and many liberation struggles that had supported Eritrea but needed the support of the Soviet Union, unfortunately, went along with this as well. And this, to me, is something that has never been discussed, really, as far as I know, on what we call the left here, such as it is. And perhaps one of you, Ephraim or Johannes, would want to comment about what the reaction was within the country when that happened.
Thank you, Jeff. I want to thank you for having us in your studio. This is a great opportunity to acquaint ourselves with the Bay Area community and beyond. The question you mentioned is a very surprising question. In fact, it's one of the fall downs of humanity, if you will, at that time at least, meaning that you have been supported by one and then you've been neglected by the other, and then you lost both of your supporters, quote-unquote. But the fortunate thing is that Eritrea all along has waged war all along in its own spirit, and that helped to galvanize the inside power of Eritrea instead of waiting for the outside world. Of course, it probably was saddening at the moment, but what happened was a transpired Eritrea to summon its strength and then come much more stronger in spirit and in all aspects of its struggle. In retrospective, when I look back, if I have to do it again, I would do it the same way that we did, because it brought the passion that never will erode again. It taught us a good lesson that friends are friends, but you have your own agenda, and they do have their own agenda. For all practical purposes, though, I think it benefited Eritrea. At the moment, though, it was quite a surprise.
Actually, I never thought of it that way until you mentioned it, because what happened with a number of these other liberation struggles, they became so dependent on either the Soviet Union or China that their foreign policy and their internal policy began to be dictated from the outside rather than from the inside. And it's interesting you mentioned that, because it had not really occurred to me. You liberated yourself from the Ethiopian yoke and without having to sign away self-respect.
That's true.
And then end up. But, of course, the struggle never ends because of that, because there's still that the geopolitical location. What else, in terms of the economy, in terms of the natural resources of Eritrea, what is basically the economy based on, and how is it organized?
The economy is based on agriculture mainly, and, of course, industries are coming out. But because of Eritrea was doing well between 91 and 97, because it was making about 7% GDP. But in 98, there was this another war, which was declared on us by Ethiopia, because they want to have the access of the sea. And because of that, things have been, slowed down. But now people are working hard, and agricultural projects are going on very well. The infrastructure is doing well. Mainly agriculture, and then, of course, mines and so on are being identified, and we have gold, copper, and fisheries. Fishing is very important also. That has not been exploited. But we are aiming the idea is to have it an exporting kind of country, which we hope.
There are two areas. One not so well known here, but of course one in the Sudan is there. What effect has the struggle in Sudan had on Eritrea?
Well, it naturally will affect if a neighboring country is struggling. Definitely will influence your all policies. The Sudan had waged a war of terrorism against Eritrea since birth, since 91. And when Eritrea was infant in 93, we really had to struggle against this terrorism. And it's a blessing to hear many countries now say terrorism and unionism, but Eritrea was the forefront of terrorism fighter. Coming to the struggle of the Sudan, it's unfortunate they had to go through that. But as many countries go to forge their future, unfortunately they have to go through that. It influenced Eritrea in a negative way. The people of the Sudan are friendly, and then Eritrea is doing its best, maximum best, to bring peace and stability to the Sudan. But initially, it really, really influenced it negatively on Eritrea. Now, fortunately, many forces are joining hands to fight terrorism, and Eritrea is a forefront fighter in practical terms, not in theory or what have you.
Do you have Sudanese refugees coming into Eritrea?
Is that there are some, yes. There are some, but now the two sides have agreed, but unfortunately the vice president has died recently. Of course, I think that has new dimension, I guess. But
the way things happen in the world today, nobody believes anything is as it appears to be. A helicopter could go down in bad weather, but nobody believes that because people have been lied to so much. So we see that situation there. The other part aspect, or the other area, is which in America forces have set up a base in Djibouti, which used to be like French territory, which is close, not that far, is also on the Red Sea. Do you have any relations with Djibouti?
Very good relationship with Djibouti. And, of course, the U.S. naval forces in that area, they move around to fight terrorism, of course. So with Djibouti, we have good relationship. In fact, as we talk now, there is a delegation visiting Eritrea, you know, visiting on this festival, because in Eritrea also there is a festival going on. So
it's festival here.
It's here and also in Eritrea.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We're going to hear some music from Eritrea in a moment, but one thing, how large is the Eritrean community here in the Bay Area?
I'm new around this Bay Area, okay. But
about 4,000. It's estimated about 4,000 to 5,000.
There's also an Ethiopian community here.
Yes.
And a community from Somalia. How do you get along here? Are there meetings, some meeting ground between, let's say, Ethiopians who don't like the policy, for example, of their government?
Oh, well. I think the acronym is kind of attitudes. I have not seen very, you know, of course, I mean, everyone has his own
interest,
but I have not seen any fights. And so,
if I may add to that, yes. One of the blessing part of Eritrean spirit is they stand behind what they say, and regardless of temporary friendship or temporary setbacks, they always aspire towards their main goal, and their main goal is not to hate people, and actually to foster friendship with people, with Eritrea's policy intact. And then as long as we're not violated, we're the most passionate and strong-willed people.
Let's hear some music that Ephraim has brought here. From what we were just listening to, we didn't hear all of it. This is a long cut. We're going to hear one more after the end of the interview. What were we just listening to?
That was Helen Paulos from Eritrea, and she's a very young, talented artist, one of the coming stars. She's singing about Eritrea, and then she's saying, "My beloved nation." And I wish she heard the lyrics, because it's so amazingly put. It describes all the passion that Eritreans have towards Eritrea.
Speaking of that passion we're talking, the break, is being pushed and pressured now by border disputes still ongoing with Ethiopia. Johannes, what's happening in that area?
Jeff, thank you very much for that question, because it is we are still waiting. The Eritrea-Ethiopia Border Commission, a commission which was, the judges were, selected by both parties, Ethiopia as well as Eritrea, both, and the United Nations. Now, the decision was made, and the decision was, it was binding and final. So, as far as we know, that decision is not being respected by Ethiopia. We have been waiting for the last 2 years, almost 3 years now.
Is it likely to break into full-scale war again?
Well, the way the Ethiopians have been bringing some army towards the border, that the United Nations is aware of it, and Ethiopia says it is in defense kind of tactics, but we think it is a provocation. We are patiently waiting, but how long are we going to wait? The land is already demarcated, and it should be implemented. We are not in the bush. Now it's part of the international community, and the international community has been eagerly waiting for Ethiopia to fulfill its obligations, but Ethiopia has not done it.
Today, is there any Western nation behind Ethiopia, or is it acting on its own in this case?
Well, that's a very complicated question. It's very unfortunate that Ethiopia, as a crybaby, has to get whatever it needs. Eritrea, despite all its positive spirits, had been slapped on the face over and over again, and that's very amazing to me. What's more amazing, though, is, like Johannes put it, the border issue is settled and judged, and it has to be implemented as signed. However, for any force to not pressure Ethiopia economically or diplomatically or militarily, if you will, is very absurd. And Eritrea, being the peace-loving and progressive nation, is waiting patiently. But all the international laws articulate that Eritrea has the right to leverage what's necessary to acquire its integrity. And we hope it doesn't turn out to be negative, but the way the Ethiopians are dragging their feet, bringing excuse now and then, is not very encouraging at best.
Well, they were kind of humiliated once before, and they haven't gotten over that, it seems like.
it's a moral issue. It's where do you look? What are your eyes set upon? Are you trying to feed your people, trying to develop, or are you trying to come up from your ego? We're in the 21st century.
Yes,
Johannes. I want to add a little bit on that one, because it's very, since we are communicating with the council, haven't heard about the situation probably.
Yes.
I think there are, for this border commission, when it was signed in Algiers, April 2000, there were observers. USA is one of them. The foreign minister at that time, Albright, she signed on behalf of the USA. The European Union was there. African Union was there. And the Algerian government was also there. So all these observers are supposed to, push for the law, the judgment to be respected and implemented and so on, so that the delineation and demarcation is finalized, so that the two people on both sides, on Eritrea as well as Ethiopia, like to have it live in peace. I don't think the people of Ethiopia are benefiting from this warmongering kind of attitude that we, this is a government that has been killing its people in the last election. 36 people, over 36 people have been butchered. it is the poor people that are suffering. So the international community has to really voice its, the mandate is there. I mean, the international community should punish whoever is refusing, because it is in the agreement.
Of course, we have all these preoccupations with Iraq, Afghanistan, and there's no push coming from here. One of the things I want to talk about, the way people can get more information about Eritrea, and I know one of them will be the festival this weekend. Who wants to talk about the festival and encourage people to go to that?
I will ask Ephraim.
Yes.
The festival is a ritual of Eritreanism, if you will.
Eritreanism.
Eritreanism. And for Eritrea and friends of Eritrea to come along, we travel the hardest road, and once in a while we pull together our resources and celebrate what we have accomplished. And every year the celebrations go from positive to positive. And of course, this year's theme would be reaffirming our values. In this festival, we're reaffirming our values, with our youth being the forefront of our festival activities. And to come back to the spirit of this festival, one of the keynotes of the festivals that we strive to achieve is our cohesion, our unity, our integrity, our values. And looking back to the struggle days, that's what kept us going. There were festivals from day one, maybe not as sophisticated as the ones coming recently, but there had been festivals. And the spirit carries on, the passion pours, and you would believe when you see young generation coming out with this full energy and passion towards their loved nation. And that's what we want to show our friends and our residents. We're American, we are Eritrean Americans. We reside here. We want to be known as part of the community.
But you want to keep your culture and not lose something that's really important to
that's
you,
right.
Of course.
It is.
Identity.
Is there a phone number where anyone could call?
Absolutely. You probably want to call 510-652-2851. And you may want to also call 510-435-9018 in case of a need.
And that was Ephraim. I want to thank you, Ephraim and Johannes, for being our guest today and bringing information here in Eritrea that we don't get enough. And we're going to go out another song. And what are we going to hear, Ephraim?
This is about our united strengths, I would call it.
So thanks, both of you, for being our guests here today on Connecting the Dots.
Thank you,
Joe.
The dark in the area too, the gods in the good world too, arms as big as was as he was. The dark in the area too, the gods in the good world too, arms as big as was as he was. I'm not afraid.
بعد سفر بالحي عد عد سقاي أفرا زمرت مرعوة ساي تبنا سراوتنا ريبو حلاي